So Tony read that verse in Hebrews, and my heart jumped a little bit at just a fresh realization that where sins are forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice. And what a wonderful thing we get to come together and worship and praise God that our sins are forgiven. It's been paid. It's been paid. Anybody ever borrowed any money from somebody? Like, I mean, not the electric and the water bill. I mean, like a car loan, student loan, house loan. Okay. Anybody ever paid one of those off? Okay. All right. All right. So you're with me. Some of you are with me. All right. Show of hands. We won't laugh too long. Anybody paid a debt off and then the next month you just accidentally sent the payment back to the bank? Oren, that is horrible. That is awful. And I can't believe you admitted that. No, we don't do that. We celebrate. It's paid off. It's done. We throw a party, right? Hey, this time last month, you know what we were doing? That's right. We were sending our check to pay for that student loan. You know what we're doing this month? Not sending them that check. So what do? We just celebrate the due date. Tony read for us in Hebrews. He goes, do you understand what Jesus has done? You had that large debt. You had that large debt that you're not, because the mortgage is a wonderful analogy. Yeah, that's not going anywhere. I mean, they say 30 or they say 15, but it's there. And God comes in and says, I'll take care of that. You don't have to pay that anymore. So Christians, what do you do when your sins are forgiven by the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Now, what do I do with all those extra resources? Lord says, yeah, I freed you up. So you don't worry about your sin anymore. Now you're free to offer mercy and grace to others. Your debt's been paid. So now you get to use those resources for the good of others. What a powerful thing this morning. I'm glad that you are here today. That's not even the lesson. That was just, that's just good stuff. No, we're in Acts chapter 10 this morning as we continue our story with Peter and Cornelius. So let us pray together and figure out a little bit better how we're going to partner with the Spirit of Christ to accomplish the will of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us together today. And we're still just, we're flying, just celebrating the sacrifice that Jesus made. And Father, thank you for accepting his death for ours. Father, we know that the only outcome of sin is death. And we know that we've all sinned. And you let Jesus die for us. You let him die for us and you let him die instead of us. Praise be your name. Father, we love you so much. And our love comes out of a gratitude and a thankfulness and an understanding that you have done for us what we could never, ever do for ourselves. Father, we thank you for sending a Savior. We thank you for his willingness to be faithful to the cross. And we thank you for restoring his life and giving us hope eternal. Father, today as we look at your scriptures together, I pray that you encourage us. I pray that we're just encouraged by our faithful brothers and sisters who are here with us today, singing your praise as we get to pray together and learn together. And Father, I pray that you give us more of your Holy Spirit each and every day. I pray, Father, that we remove those things in our heart that are taking up your space. And I pray that we only have room for you. Father, open the eyes of our hearts to receive your direction, your instruction, and your guidance. And Father, fill us with so much of your grace that we shine your light in the world around us this week. Father, I lift up our teachers, our kids, everybody just cranking up for back to school. Watch over them, please. Guide them and protect them and Help them to be gentle when they need to be gentle, and help them to be bold when they need to be bold. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw last Sunday, we were introduced in Acts chapter 10 to Cornelius. And this chapter in the book of Acts is a turning point to where the gospel of Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection and this good news that is being proclaimed to the world has started with God's people and has just kind of spread out. And so we've seen several of the apostles take it here and take it there. And now we see this interesting story in chapter 10 where there's this transition, because now it is no longer going to be God's people, God's original people, that are receiving the benefit from this. But now the good news is finally coming to all people. And just a little help. We read chapter 10, verses 1 through 8 last week. We get introduced to Cornelius. And we see that, you know, Cornelius, he's a centurion. He's a military guy in the Italian cohort. He's a Gentile. He's a Gentile, but he's faithful to God. Now, what that means is he is not one of God's people, but he truly believes that God exists. And he believes in such a way that God exists that he actually does good in the name of God. And it says here in Acts chapter 10 that he makes alms. That means he gave to the contribution. That means he was a friend to God's people. In fact, when Peter, we'll read a little bit in chapter 10, where some of the people that know Cornelius, they're like, hey, this is a good Gentile. Okay? We know that most of them are dogs and not worth our time, but this is a good Gentile. But church, you have to understand, even to come together to worship, Gentiles were not allowed to come into the presence of God like the Jews were, right? And so if you take a look at your, go home and take a look at one of your temple drawings, and you'll find the court of the Gentiles. They basically had an area where they could come near, but not near. Church, imagine it like this. Imagine if we had a member here at Sunrise, okay? They're here every week. And they had to sit out here. I mean, we'd still bring the plate to them because we'll take their money, but they're going to sit out there because they're not in here with us. That's who Cornelius is. And yet, even that was good enough for him. Look, God's so good, as close as I can get, I'm good with that. And God is going to do something amazing in Acts chapter 10. He is going to do something really big in this chapter. And as we participate with His Spirit, as we allow our lives to be led by His purpose, His mission, as we partner, filled with His Spirit, knowing that His work in this world is now our work in this world, we need to expect that God can use our lives for something big. We got to open our eyes. We got to lift our heads. We got to look around. We got to be involved. Because God wants to do so much with your life. Your sins are forgiven. And God wants you to celebrate that. And God wants you to share that with those around you. So we pick it up here in Acts chapter 10 in verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men that were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, Three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you were looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited the men to be his guests. The next day he arose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. So I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Okay, so God has sent Cornelius a vision, and he says, Hey, Cornelius, look, I got the checks. Good job. We hear your prayers, all right? Excellent work. You need to send for Peter. He's going to come to you. You need to listen to what he says. He's got a message for you. And then Peter is there and he gets a vision. He gets a vision, and you know, his is a little more exciting, disturbing, I'm not sure, but he gets this vision, and there's this sheet that comes down from heaven and it is filled with all sorts of animals. And the voice tells him, Get up, Peter. Have the buffet. And Peter, of course, says, No, I'm a good Jew. I've never touched unclean things. I would not eat an unclean animal. I won't do it. That is not for me. Right? Some of you may have been there before. Lord, I would never be a vegan. It's not happening. Right? Not these lips. And he says it again. I said, Peter, get up. Kill you something and eat. And God says to him, If I declare it clean, then it is no longer unclean. If I say that it's worthy, then you don't get to look at it and say, Oh, no, that's not worthy. Now, we know, of course, and Peter finally figures it out, right? Because again, Peter is a faithful Jew. Hence his reply, no, faithful Jews. We don't touch these dirty animals. We don't eat that kind of food. That's not for us. We also don't go into the homes of dirty Gentiles. That's not for us. So Peter has shown this vision and God is letting him know, all right, Peter, we're doing something new here. I'm taking you somewhere unexpected. You're still doing the same work. It's still the gospel. We have to get this message out. But the amazing thing that was done at the cross, and Jesus prepared them for this. It wasn't fully realized. I mean, I think about the time as I was going through this study, and you remember the time when Jesus met a Gentile woman, and she said, "Hey, I need some help," and he said, "Yeah, it's not for you, right?" Let the children be fed first. Remember that story, ringing a bell? And she looks right at Jesus and says, yeah, but Jesus, I mean, even the dogs are sitting under the table and they'll take the scraps. And Jesus was like, whoa, God's people don't have this kind of faith. They're willing to sit under the table and just reach the scraps of blessing that fall off the table. God can work with this. So even though God originally sent his son for his people, the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross was for the sins of the world. And here we see face to face, just like Peter has been brought face to face with the fact that God is saying, you are my people. You are my people. Some of you know it, some of you don't know it yet, but you are my people. And church, you and I sit here today. You and I sit here today and we know it. We are his people. And yet there are people in all of our lives that God is saying, they're my people too. Show them what it takes to gain entrance. I gave it to you freely. Give it to them freely. Why would you keep that back from anyone? So Peter gets this vision of the animals. And then he goes and he visits Cornelius. And he says, look, it's not lawful for me to be here or to do this, but God has shown me a better way. Did you catch that Peter had to get the lesson from God how many times?
Three.
Remember how many times Peter denied the Lord? Remember how many times the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? Yeah, there's some things going on here. I won't even dig into the, it's not an accident, the hours that these two men were praying. That's kind of important too. So go back and look at your crucifixion story. That's kind of a big deal. So what do they call that, Easter egg? Yeah, there's a little Easter egg for you in the Bible story. I'll let you go and work on that this afternoon. So Peter does have to get the lesson from God three times, but when he gets the lesson, no hesitation for obedience, right? This is what God is showing me. I got to go. I got to go. And he said, hey, once I figured out, you know, because Peter's kind of, once the Lord got through here and he got in here, I'm there. He may take me a while to get the message. And church, we're sitting here and the message comes to us and we got to get it through our thick skulls and our hard hearts. The gospel's for everybody. The gospel's for everybody, so the time for hesitation is over. The time for hesitation is over. We have a purpose. He has made us partners to share his good news with those around us. We no longer hesitate. We no longer wait. Say, I wonder if God wants me to talk to my family members who aren't Christians and tell them about Jesus. I wonder if that's something God would have me do. Right? That coworker who just seems to struggle and struggle and struggle, and is, you know, as many times as I've said, whew, bless their heart, Lord. Nothing's changed for them. Wonder if I should actually speak the words of life and share the gospel message with them. Is that something that the Lord would want me to do? Or maybe we just, without hesitation, we just do it. Maybe the fact that we know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe the fact that we know that he died for our sins and their sins. Maybe that's enough good news for us to start going, you know what? I think I'm going to participate in this. I have what the world needs. The world still needs it. And I'm in the world. So maybe I should stop hesitating and maybe I should start sharing what God has done for me. It's a novel thought, right? Yeah, without hesitation. All right, now, before we move on to the next part, I want you to see something. Peter had to break a barrier that he was not comfortable with. Right? Clean and unclean. I'm not even supposed to be in your house. It's not just I'm looking down on you. My law, God's law says that I can't even be here. And yet God showed up and said, Peter, we're doing something. Go. Is it any wonder that when Jesus did some things and everyone just goes, oh, he can't do that. Who does he think he is? We have a law and this is what it says. And yet look what he's saying and look how he's living and look how he's acting. And look at the love and the mercy he is showing to other people. But God's law prevents us from doing such things. And God goes to Peter and says, Peter, no. Mm-mm. This is bigger than that. That's been fulfilled. This is what needs to go on. So these barriers are broken down, and Peter's not necessarily comfortable with it, but God is going to get his gospel to the Gentiles. I had Jerry read for us from Jeremiah chapter 29. And Jeremiah chapter 29, you probably recognize some of the wording and the verbiage through there. It's a pretty popular passage. But God's people have been exiled to Babylon. All right, and Jeremiah was stuck at home. So Babylon comes in, they ransack God's people, God's land, and they take all the best. Jeremiah gets left behind. Now what does that mean? He's not the best, right? But he still has a purpose, he still has a ministry, he still has a participation with what God is trying to do. So God says, all right, write them a letter of encouragement. And Jeremiah writes him a letter of encouragement, and he basically says to him, look, I know you're in a place that you don't want to be. This all happened, I mean, this is us. This happened because God warned us, and he warned us, and he warned us. How many times have I told you? And he finally acted on it. And you got taken away. And look, you're there. It's not a happy place. It's a weird place. It's not a good time for any of us. And it is very tempting when you and I are in less than perfect circumstances. It's real easy for you and I just to sit down and mope. Right? We like to mope. I just like that word. But we like to mope. Anybody not know what the word mope means? Am I introducing something new to you? Kids, do you know what mope means? No? Mope. Mope is, a little bit of whiny, a little bit of pouty, a little bit of, it's not fair. Anybody ever moped? Yeah, I know. Anybody's mama ever moped? Yeah, I know. Mamas mope sometimes too. Daddies mope sometimes too. It may sound a little different, but we all get there where, oh, it's just not right. It's just not fair. We all mope. We all complain. I mean, look, do I really have to say the examples out loud? Because we all do it every single day. I mean, we mope about the weather. It's too hot. It's too cold. We mope about the price of gas. We mope about the price of groceries. We mope about everything. We whine and complain, and God says to Jeremiah, he says, look, I know they're in a bad place. I know they don't want to be there. Guess what? I'm the one that put them there. They need to learn the lesson from this little time out. Because if you ever get punished, if you ever get a time out, you ever get your little tablet taken away from you, or you ever get a spanking, if you come back and do the same bad thing, do you get in trouble again? Yeah, you do. What's the point of getting in trouble? To learn not to do it. And so God says to them something very important. He says, while you're there, I do not want you to decrease. You're in a bad way. You are in circumstances that you did not choose. I do not want you to decrease. What do I want you to do? I want you to live your life. I want you to keep having children. I want you to multiply. I want you to flourish. I want you to pray for the good of the horrible land that you are in. I want you to be a positive part. I want you to shine your light in this unchosen darkness. And keep being faithful to me, and I will restore you. Now, come on, church. We should have this, I don't know, that might be a frontlet, you know. You may get me on board with getting one of those scripture boxes for my forehead. I might consider ink for that kind of idea. Because I need to remember. Because it is so tempting. It is so tempting for you and I today to just look at our circumstances and mope. It is so tempting to say it's so bad out there. I cannot believe how bad it is. Woe is me, the world is full of sin. I guess God just wants me to sit here and mope. He wants me to cry about it. He wants me to complain about it. He definitely doesn't want me to bring any light to such darkness. He wants me to come sit at home and put my shields up and hide. Say, Lord, will you please come rescue your righteous and your faithful, because it is so awful out there. I'd like to introduce you to our Lord. He's the one that says, I know it's a dark place. I put you there. You think I'm not aware? Shine your light. Shine your light. Live your life. Multiply. Now is not the time to shrink. Now is not the time to shrink, church. You and I have been called. You and I have been made partners with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. We have been included in His mission to reach the lost. Now is not the time to mope. Now is not the time to go inward. Now is not the time for self-preservation. I don't see self-preservation in the Gospels. I just see it in us. I don't see it in the book of Acts. I just see it in us. It's not biblical. It's just in us. What I see when God sends His Holy Spirit to His children, to His believers, to His faithful, I see Him breaking down barriers and saying, this is where my light needs to be. This is where my light needs to be. This is where my light needs to be. Because you and I come together and we're like a light bulb factory in here. It is bright. And He goes, yeah, but out there where it's dark, that's where I need my light to be. Yeah, but Lord, that's uncomfortable. Was Peter comfortable going to Cornelius' house? No. No, he was not. Yeah, but Lord, I'm not allowed. I mean, even with my family, we don't discuss religion and we don't discuss politics. Hey, does anybody know where that wonderful famous saying says? Three things you don't discuss and what, how's it go? Is it religion, politics, and money? Right? The three things you don't say in mixed company? That's the saying goes. Wonder who made that one up. I looked in my concordance. I didn't find it. Wonder who made that up. Here's the things you shouldn't be talking about. Well, no, Michael, that's my work policy. I know, it's my work policy too. We get a Zoom meeting and they tell us from the heads up, hey, everybody saw the news of what's going on today, but don't talk about it. Okay. All right? We get the, hey, happy Easter. Don't talk about it. Hey, it's so dark out there, but don't shine in it. You and I don't even have to be told that. We just know. I better not shine. It might put me in uncomfortable positions. God might send me a Cornelius. God might send me Cornelius' whole family. That's awkward. Or you know what? Nah, God's not sending me a Cornelius. He's sending me people that don't want to hear it. Well, do they need it? Not everybody's ready, right? In our Sunday morning Bible studies, remember the story? Throw the seed. Throw the seed. I don't know which seed's going to hit good soil. I don't. What's my job? Throw the seed. That's my job. That's my job. So, God tells His people back in Jeremiah, we have to take this lesson. Live our life. Be faithful. Don't shrink. Multiply. So when we partner with the Spirit of God, we trust God's plan for good. Now, back to Acts chapter 10. Let's see how this story plays out. Verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. So, Peter finally gets the full meaning of his vision. God is allowing everyone to answer his call. God allows everyone to answer his call. Now, you still have to answer. You still have to answer. We are not cheapening grace. We are not messing with the Word of God. Okay? We will not fall into the trap of saying, "Oh, well, you know, magic bean story hour. It doesn't matter what you do, how you live, how do you respond. All dogs go to heaven." Now, that's pretty popular these days. And wow, isn't that great? Doesn't matter what decision you have while you have free will. Don't worry. God will take care of it in the end. You're aware that this is being said, right? You're aware that this is one of the lies that's being told? Okay, why come together? Why tell anyone about Jesus if it doesn't matter what you do with your life? If it doesn't matter what decisions I make while I am allowed to have decisions and be able to make decisions, then who cares, right? I mean, I'm kind of with Paul. If this really doesn't matter, then what are we doing? Why am I in danger every day? I mean, if this is it, eat, drink, and be merry. Go about your way. Nice knowing you people. That's not the case. That's not the case. Everyone still has to respond to the gift that God freely offers. You got to believe. You got to believe it. But again, Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul tells the church, hey, what's necessary for people to believe in the good news of Jesus? What comes before belief? You got to what? You got to hear it. And church, they're not going to hear it if you and I don't say it. Right? That's why he says, oh, pray a blessing on those who are willing to get out there and just tell other people about Jesus. That's who needs the blessing. Because we tell them about Jesus, they hear about Jesus, and it actually, some of them, it's going to get into their hearts. And what are they going to do? They're going to respond. They're going to respond. Church, that's what we're doing. That's what we're called to do. We are called, just like Peter, to say, I am going to stop finding barriers to God reaching the lost. I'm just going to go out and reach the lost. It's a wonderful lesson for every single one of us, because every single one of us, we just have built-in prejudices. And this is not, I'm not even talking about a racial thing. We just get it in our eyes, our minds, and our hearts, the people that we know, the people that we love, the people that we hate, the people that we work with, the people that are our physical neighbors. We all have it in our minds that so-and-so doesn't need to hear about Jesus. Oh, no, so-and-so is hostile to the gospel. Mm-mm-mm. We find all these reasons for us not to say anything out loud to anybody around us about the saving message of Jesus Christ. We've all got it all figured out already in here. Oh, I know how they'll treat me. I know how they'll respond. Oh, they're not going to listen to me. Oh, I'm not qualified. At some point, church, at some point, every single one of us has to take seriously this idea when Jesus says, hey, when I come back and I try to figure out what you've been doing with your time in righteousness, as I've been trying to figure out what you've been doing with all those years that you've been washed by the blood of my sacrifice, and I'm just kind of looking and wondering what kind of produce has your life created? And you go, oh, good, another worship service, except Jesus is going to be there. And Jesus says, I'm sorry. I don't know you. At some point, you and I have to take that seriously. At some point, you and I have to realize the power, the same power that God used to save us from our sins is the same power that God has used to save the world from their sins. And now you and I get to be a part. We get to partner. We get to take part in sharing this with the world around us. We get to. We get to. Don't you love the get to's and the have to's? Right? So many things in our life, we just think, well, that's a have to. Ugh, I have to go to school this week. You get to go to school this week. What do you mean you have to? You get to go to school. And you have to. Yeah, yeah. You get to go to school so that you get to wrestle, right? There you go. There you go. We get to tell people about Jesus. So here, and Peter does something amazing. I love this. He tells the story about, once he says, look, I realize God doesn't show partiality. In verse 35, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Anyone that fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God. So there is a required response to the gospel. But if someone responds to the gospel, then they're accepted by God. And so Peter tells them a story. He said, here's Jesus. He was anointed by God. And they killed him. But God brought him back. And now God has given him the position, the authority, the throne by which he will, and I'm looking at verse 42. He is appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Now, when you think of people and you just put them in the camp of living and dead, okay? That's what Peter says. God has appointed Jesus to judge the living and the dead. Anybody exempt from said judgment? Nope. That's everybody. Because everybody's either... We haven't sang that one in a while. That's a good one. Deep and wide? Do we know deep and wide? We do? All right, good. Deep and... That's a new one. Living and... Living in, yeah, I like that. Come on, song leaders, let's get on that. You don't want me leading that. Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. Everybody's going to stand before Jesus. Everybody. And church, you and I know the truth. It is not a safe place to stand. It is not a safe place to be standing before Jesus without Jesus. Would you dare stand before Jesus without Jesus? Me neither. I wouldn't. I'm not going to stand before Jesus and say, Jesus, have you seen all the sermons I preached? He's going to go, and? What do you mean, and? I mean, I was there faithfully, religiously, some might say. I was toiling over your word. I was using too many words. Like it meant something. Good enough, right? I've preached enough sermons. I'm good, right? I'm in. Not based on that. It's a dangerous thing to face Jesus without Jesus. Because all we're going to have and all that is necessary to stand before Jesus is Jesus. They need to know. They need to know. No more barriers. No more barriers, whether it's real or whether it's perceived, whether it is physical or make-believe, whether it's just in our head, whether we discount people, oh, they're not going to listen or they're not going to pay attention or, you know, I'm not qualified or, you know, God hadn't given me a sheet of animals coming in from heaven, so I guess I don't have to be faithful and share the gospel. That's not a good place. It's not a healthy place to stand. All right, let's close it up in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Deep and wide, deep and wide. Do we have the lyrics for that? For the screen? Deep and wide? Oh. Now I got it stuck in my head. All right, 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you don't join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. Church, we have been born again to live for the will of God. Don't waste another minute on your old sin. This morning, if that's your struggle, if you're just sitting here going, I can't talk to anybody else because I can't deal with my own stuff. Don't waste another minute on your old sin. Enough days and weeks and months and years have been given to sin. It's enough. It's enough. And then the encouragement, now, once you figure some things out in your life and you realize, well, that's really not where I want to be and I don't want to be involved in those kind of bad things, guess what? People around you are going to go, hey, man, what do you think? You're better than us? What do you think? You're better than us? Oh, what? You think I'm going to hell? Come join me in this. Well, they'll find lots of words to try to get you to join in, to give up your faith. And so Peter here in a later letter says, no, don't join in with them even when they talk bad about you. Guess what? They will give account to Jesus. They will give account to Jesus. Church, God has approved to bring the good news to everybody. And I love that. I love it because it messes with, I like it because it messes with our theology. Because, you know, we're really good at lists and, you know, just wonderful formulations. I love the fact that God says, all right, they hear the gospel and they're speaking in tongues. I love that. They're speaking in tongues. And all the Jewish believers that are with Peter go, what's going on here? God has given them the gift that he gave us oh, wait a minute, God has approved them. Well, if God is going to approve them, I'm not going to be an obstacle. Let's get them baptized. If God has shown his approval on them as evidenced by the Holy Spirit, then I'm not going to be an obstacle in their way, and I'm not going to hold anything in between. You got to be baptized. It's a pretty cool story. Pretty cool story. So, as we participate with the Holy Spirit, as God has made us a part in what he is doing, church, your sins are forgiven. They are forgiven. Praise be to God for that. Right? Amen. Absolutely. The sacrifice has been made. And as you and I enjoy that this week, as we just get up every day and just go, oh, whew. I don't know about you. I wake up with, I'm saved like the criminal on the cross. Yep, because I don't deserve it. And he did it anyway. There are people around us this week that need to know it too. We have to be convinced of that. And we have to be willing to say, all right, Lord, I've put up some barriers, but you're pretty good at breaking those down. Who needs to hear it? Who needs to see it? Who needs their life changed like you changed my life? Who doesn't know your love yet, but really needs to? And then say, oh, okay. God has shown me pretty clearly. I shouldn't prejudge. I'm going to tell you about Jesus.